If you'll take a look at our weather map, which the cats have moved over here, you'll see that we have a warm front which swings from Virginia to Tennessee with all the love. Okay. Here's the forecast, and I know you all, you cats, are uptight for the forecast. Fair and mild and sunny, light breezes 65 to 75 miles an hour, gusting up to 90 during the cyclone. Tonight's low, 25, tomorrow's high whenever I get up. There will be no weather tomorrow in Philadelphia.
Thanks very much, Al. Always a brilliant report from Al Sleet, our staff meteorologist. I think we all know Al's not playing with a full deck.
July has featured a whole host of weird and terrifying weather events. We're seeing ice quakes, fire tornadoes, and heat domes. Heat domes, of course, named for the structures we'll all eventually be fighting in for the amusement of Tina Turner. Remember when scientists were telling us that all the carbon we're putting in the atmosphere would come back to haunt us eventually? Well, it's Wednesday, July the eventualieth. Yesterday, the New York Times reported that in the 21st century, summers in Boston have come to resemble 20th century summers in New York. New York, which has come to resemble Philadelphia, which in turn has become hotter than Washington, D.C., or Atlanta, and summers in Washington and Atlanta are hotter than summers in Tampa. Tampa, of course, remains the worst possible version of itself. I don't know. The chickens have come home to roost, and they are deep fried. And I'll tell you all about it in the segment we all saw coming but did nothing to stop. Climate changed.
You should have listened to Al Gore, you dummies. He's a climate zaddy. Mama-like.
First up, the city that never sleeps got another reason not to, because the sun is glowing red in New York. You know what they say, red skies at night, sailor's delight. Red sun in the sky, we're all gonna die. So why is the sun god angry at us? Well, as we speak, 78 wildfires are raging in the western states. It's an apocalyptic vision of the future predicted by the Book of Revelation, Nostradamus, and the opening credits of Bonanza. Good news, if you're old enough to get that joke, you probably won't have to worry about climate change. Turns out, I get it. Turns out the red sun is because light in the atmosphere is being scattered willy-nilly after smoke from those blazes burning in the western United States made its way across the continent. That's not fair. They make weed legal out west, and now they're hotboxing the rest of us. And it's not just New York. Yesterday, there was a thick blanket of wildfire haze around the Great Lakes. For more on this phenomenon, we turn to Late Show's climate scientist, Deep Purple. What's the scientific name for this haze?
Smoke on the water.
Thank you, Ian. Nope. A lot of this smoke is being generated by something called the Bootleg Fire, which is the largest wildfire so far this year in the United States. It is so huge that it is generating its own weather. Now, that sounds frightening, but the Forest Service is trying to keep the public calm with this new PSA.
Only you can prevent... What? It generates its own weather? Screw it! I'm switching sides! All hail the mighty flame god! I will now do your bidding! I just started the fire.
I'm worried about smoldering.
I'm worried about smoke.
That's smoldering the bear, not smoking.
Oh, yeah.
The bootleg fire changes the weather because it's created something called a pyrocumulus cloud, also known as a cloud of fire, also known as
a fire in the sky.
These fires were caused by a drought, but some places have too much water, like the central Chinese city of Zhengzhou, where from Saturday to Tuesday, 24.3 inches of rain fell, causing massive flooding with cars floating downtown. And one guy even shot phone footage of fish swimming in the street. It's all in the new Pixar movie, Finding Nemo on the Sidewalk. My God, what have we done?
We interrupt this program to bring you a special weather bulletin. And now we go directly to our weather monster.
I look at it this way. For centuries now, man has done everything he can to destroy, defile, and interfere with nature. Clear-cutting forests, strip mining mountains, poisoning the atmosphere, overfishing the oceans, polluting the rivers and lakes, destroying wetlands and aquifers. So when nature strikes back and smacks man in the head and kicks him in the nuts, I enjoy that. I have absolutely no sympathy for human beings whatsoever. None. And no matter what kind of problem humans are facing, whether it's natural or man-made, I always hope it gets worse. Don't you have a part of you that secretly hopes everything gets worse? When you see a big fire on TV, don't you hope it spreads? Don't you hope it gets completely out of control and burns down 6 counties? You don't root for the firemen, do you? I mean, I don't want them to get hurt or nothing, but I don't want them putting out my fire. That's my fire. That's nature showing off and having fun. I like fires. You know something else I like? Those spring floods in the Midwest. Aren't they great? Like clockwork. Spring floods in the Midwest. But I'm starting to catch on that every year it's the same story. Another flood in the same place with the same people on the same river. Same people! And these people do not move. They will not move. They repaint, put down new carpeting and wallpaper, and they move right back into the same house on the floodplain next to the river, and then they wonder why grandma's floating downstream with the parakeet on her head. Fourth time. There's no learning curve with these people. It's very hard to feel sorry for them. Every year, same people, same rowboats, out there paddling around, rescuing a chicken. What kind of a life is that? Well, our kids love it here. Oh, really? What do they got, gills? And while they're showing all that on the screen, the announcer is saying to me, it's been raining steadily for 3 months now. The ground can't hold any more water. The river is cresting higher than it has in 2 centuries. The levees have washed away. And I just hope it keeps raining and 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 raining. And it rains steadily for 5 years. And then after that, for 10 years, it's cloudy. With occasional showers, and the river never returns to its natural banks. It becomes a completely new river, and the borders of 3 states have to be changed, and all the maps and atlases have to be redrawn and reprinted, and no one's couch ever completely dries out. For years and years, every time they sit down, there's always a little squish. Dan, Linda, come on in, you guys, have a seat. Squish, squish. I like that.
Thanks for the songs this week from Huskoor Doo, Pylon, Robin Hitchcock, Bob Dylan, and Deep Purple. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Sam the Eagle, Wayne and Wanda, Kermit the Frog, Grover, Seth Meyers, Chris Hayes, George Carlin, and Stephen Colbert.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Of a belligerent passenger causing sheer chaos in the air. And it got so bad that flight attendants had to duct tape the man to his seat. Ever since masks were required on airplanes, flight attendants say that their work has become downright dangerous.
Now understand something. I'm a flight attendant. That means I attend the flights. Sometimes our job has us attending to crazy people. If you push us too far, you're going to have to attend this ass whooping. You see, because on this particular flight, I'm sitting in the jump seat. And I'm just looking at him like the damn fool. He's spitting and cussing and going crazy. I say, that's enough. I got up and I walked over there. And by the way, this man smelled like a pack of Marlboro cigarettes, 4 shots of Everclear alcohol, and regret. So I know something's about to go down. At this point, he touching all over my coworker's breast. And where he f***ed up at is when he touched my titties. Because I don't play that. So what I did is I took out the duct tape. I said, he got scared, start stuttering, say, hold up, wait a minute, something ain't right. I said, yeah, we about to mummify your now, boy. So we wrapped him up. Better than any Christmas present you ever see. He won't be coming on no more Frontier flights at all.
I don't know about that. Oh boy.
Thank you for having me. You know, here at Frontier, we say we have low fares and high customers, and that is especially true when you're on a flight to Florida, which is where the plane was going. So we can't say we are surprised by the events that transpired. You know, the thing about the skies is that they are lawless. There are no laws up there. And therefore, there are no laws on our planes when they are in the sky. Our pilots are not licensed because they do not have to be because they are in the sky where there are no laws. So anything can happen when you get on one of our flights. You know, we were just glad everyone made it back safely. And that's what we always say here at Frontier. When a plane lands, we go, oh, thank God, you know, because we're Frontier Airlines and we don't really know what's going on. I will say that the flight attendants are heroes. And that is why we suspended them so they can get a little break. It is unpaid, but it's nice to have a little break, a little self-care time because whew, it's rough up there.
Here's Jamie Branch with The Storm from her 2017 release Fly or Die.
The Wyndham Farmers Market is held every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of Wyndham Local at 5410 Route 23 in Wyndham. You can find out all kinds of information about the Wyndham Farmers Market on the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org, where all sorts of local events are listed. And you can even list your own if you go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event. You'll be read on the radio, just like the Wyndham's Farmers Market, which is held every Saturday through October 9th in front of Wyndham Local with meats, greens, honey, vegetables, and more. That's the Wyndham Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on Route 23 in Wyndham.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
DJ Dizzy at the helm. We'll be taking off in approximately 45 minutes.
This is Doug Gillard of Guided by Voices, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
10-20 soundscapes evolve dramatically as ambient drones collide with raw noise, and we'll hear one of their sonic portraits on the next Deep Threes. Plus, music from Duo Concertante, Jason Cao Wang, and Synchro. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
Once unhoused herself, Congresswoman's protest forces White House to extend eviction ban. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Renters in the United States have had limited protection from eviction during the COVID-19 pandemic through a combination of federal law passed by Congress and emergency relief bills and through emergency eviction moratoria declared by the Centers for Disease Control. This patchwork of protections collapsed on Saturday as House members fled the U.S. Capitol, heading to their homes to begin their long August recess. Most members, that is. Congresswoman Cori Bush of Missouri wasn't going anywhere. As a formerly unhoused single mother herself, she decided to protest the expiration of the latest eviction moratorium by camping out on the Capitol steps. She was joined by other House progressives, including Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, along with scores of supporters. By Tuesday, amidst mounting pressure from their protest, the Biden administration extended the CDC's eviction moratorium for 2 more months.
I could not at all walk away from this situation and go on vacation, recess, knowing that, you know, millions of people could start to end up on the streets.
That's Congressmember Bush speaking from her protest on the Capitol steps on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. She was moved, she said,
to make sure that between 7 and 11 million people don't end up forced out of their homes. The idea that lawmakers, the only ones, lawmakers, our government, the levels of government that have the some type of jurisdiction with this type of a situation, with this crisis, chose not to do anything.
Banning evictions during a pandemic makes perfect sense. Those experiencing homelessness are often forced into what the CDC calls congregate settings, where the coronavirus can spread like wildfire. Eviction bans have been paired with emergency rental assistance funds and the COVID-19 relief bills so that landlords can expect some rent even from tenants who are out of work. Of the $47 billion in rental assistance appropriated by Congress, however, only $3 billion have actually been disbursed. Blame is being passed around for the haphazard renter relief program. Congress blames the White House for only giving them 2 days to pass a new eviction moratorium. The White House says its hands are tied, pointing to a late June decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in which Justice Brett Kavanaugh writes, quote, clear and specific congressional authorization via new legislation would be necessary for the CDC to extend the moratorium, unquote. Republicans blame the Biden administration for failing to disperse the funds, but the bipartisan bills that allocated the $47 billion in rent relief largely delegate the details of the programs to the individual states. Progressive Democrats lay the failure to pass an eviction moratorium in part on so-called moderate Democrats, who they say are protecting the interests of large property owners. After the Daily Poster reported that billionaire Biden backer Grant Marcus, a real estate tycoon, donated $1 million to the House Majority PAC, which raises money to help Democrats get elected to Congress, Democratic Congressmember Rashida Tlaib of Detroit called on members to return any donations from Marcus. As Congressmember Cori Bush's Capitol Steps encampment continued, pressure to take action mounted on the White House. On Tuesday, the CDC issued a new modified eviction moratorium targeting the 90% of U.S. counties with high COVID-19 infection rates.
I'm an activist. I'm an organizer. I got my start, my official start, I guess I'd say, in activism after Michael Brown's murder in Ferguson in 2014. And we protested more than 400 days. And even after that, we protested. We've protested for years against injustices related to police brutality and more, and even our the housing crisis. There was no way that I can do that work at home in St. Louis and then come here and see an atrocity taking place that I have a hand in and just sit by and let it go.
As a seasoned activist, Congressmember Bush knows that merely responding to crises is not enough. 3 days before the eviction moratorium was set to expire, she introduced House Resolution 568.
The Unhoused Bill of Rights is a resolution that it lays out what those civil rights protections, what dignity looks like for our unhoused neighbors. This Bill of Rights says that the rights of every single person who is living unhoused, every person who's experiencing homelessness, that their rights should be protected. They should have the same dignity of anyone who is living housed.
The Alabama and Georgia affiliates of the National Association of Realtors have already filed a motion in federal court seeking to overturn the CDC's new eviction moratorium. Meanwhile, coronavirus Delta variant infections are exploding across the United States, pushing hospitals beyond capacity. More than 99% of recent COVID-19 deaths have occurred in the unvaccinated population. The ongoing pandemic only highlights what activists like Congressmember Cori Bush have known all along. Both housing and health care are human rights. And until all of us are protected, none of us is safe. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Here are some highlights from the WGXC Newsroom's Week in News.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
On August 3rd, New York Attorney General Letitia James released her office's report on the allegations of sexual harassment against Governor Andrew Cuomo. Her office's investigation, and I quote, revealed a deeply disturbing clear picture of sexually harassed current and former state employees in violation of laws, end quote.
The independent investigation has concluded that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women and in doing so violated federal and state law. Specifically, the investigation found that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed current and former New York State employees by engaging in unwelcome and non-consensual touching and making numerous offensive comments of a suggestive and sexual nature that created a hostile work environment for women. The investigators independently corroborated and substantiated these facts through interviews and evidence, including contemporaneous notes and communications. This evidence will be made available to the public along with the report. This investigation was started after a number of women publicly alleged that they had been sexually harassed by Governor Cuomo. And on March 1st of this year, the governor's office made a referral to my office pursuant to State Executive Law 63-8 regarding these allegations. Executive Law Section 63-8 permits the New York Attorney General's office, with the approval of the governor or when directed by the governor, to inquire into matters concerning the public peace, the public safety, and public justice.
Less than 2 hours after James spoke, Cuomo put out a live web stream, but took no questions.
First, I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. I am 63 years old. I've lived my entire adult life in public view. That is just not who I am. And that's not who I have ever been. I do kiss people on the forehead. I do kiss people on the cheek. I do kiss people on the hand. I do embrace people. I do hug people, men and women. I do on occasion say, "Ciao, Bella." On occasion, I do slip and say, "Sweetheart," or "Darling," or "Honey." I do banter with people. I do tell jokes, some better than others. I am the same person in public as I am in private. You have seen me do it on TV through all my briefings and for 40 years before that. I try to put people at ease. I try to make them smile. I try to connect with them. And I try to show my appreciation and my friendship. I now understand that there are generational or cultural perspectives that, frankly, I hadn't fully appreciated. And I have learned from this.
The AG report did not take a position on whether Cuomo should be subject to criminal prosecution for the alleged groping at the executive mansion. But James made it clear she believed the woman accusers.
And together, they ensured that this investigation was both independent and thorough. Over the course of the five-month investigation, the investigators spoke to 179 individuals, including complainants, current and former members of the executive chamber, state troopers, additional state employees, and others who interacted regularly with the governor. In addition, they reviewed more than 74,000 pieces of evidence, including documents, emails, texts, audio files, and pictures. These interviews and pieces of evidence reveal a deeply disturbing yet clear picture. Governor Cuomo sexually harassed current and former state employees in violation of both federal and state laws. The independent investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, many of whom were young women, by engaging in unwanted groping, kisses, hugging, and by making inappropriate comments. Further, the governor and his senior team took actions to retaliate against at least one former employee for coming forward with her story, her truth. And Governor Cuomo's administration fostered a toxic workplace that enabled harassment and created a hostile work environment where staffers did not feel comfortable coming forward with complaints about sexual harassment due to a climate of fear? And given the power dynamics, the investigators found that Governor Cuomo's actions and those of the executive chamber violated multiple state and federal laws, as well as the executive chamber's own written policies. This investigation has revealed conduct that corrodes the very fabric and character of our state government and shines light on injustice that can be present at the highest levels of government. But none of this would have been illuminated if not for the heroic women who came forward. And I am inspired by all the brave women who came forward. But more importantly, I believe them.
Many prominent Democrats and Republicans in New York had previously called on Cuomo to resign when the allegations emerged publicly earlier in the year and an impeachment process began in the legislature.
Natasha Vaughn and Alila Schneider are reporting for Columbia Green Media that various elected officials from both major parties believe Governor Andrew Cuomo should be held responsible for his actions and are calling for his resignation after New York Attorney General Letitia James announced August 3rd the findings of an independent investigation into Cuomo's behavior toward multiple women. The report concluded that the governor sexually harassed 11 women, violating state and federal laws from 2013 to 2020. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Kristen Gillibrand, both Democrats, released a joint statement in response to the AG's announcement. Quote, as we have said before, the reported actions of the governor were profoundly disturbing, inappropriate, and completely unacceptable, unquote, Schumer and Gillibrand said. Quote, today's report, substantiated and corroborated by the allegations of the brave woman who came forward to share their stories, and we commend the women for doing so, unquote. Cuomo sexually harassed current and former state employees, said Democrat U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado, and he thanked the brave women who came forward. Quote, being the governor of the state of New York is a privilege. Withholding critical information from the public, combined with the growing allegations of threats, bullying, and sexual harassment, reflects a culture of aggression that is unfit to lead. The governor must resign, unquote, Delgado said. Republican State Assembly member Chris Tagg supports an assembly investigation and impeachment proceeding. Quote, I hope now that this report will come out that my fellow members in the assembly and in the Senate will have a new call to get the impeachment proceeding started and remove the governor from office and let this play out, unquote, Tagg said. Quote, the way this report is reading from the attorney general, it does not look good for Andrew Cuomo, unquote. Another official calling for Cuomo's resignation was Republican State Senator Daphne Jordan. She said the AG's report leads to one inescapable conclusion. Cuomo must resign. Quote, Cuomo is a serial sexual harasser that has brought disgrace upon his office and stained our state. For the good of New York, Cuomo must go, unquote, Jordan said. Democratic Assembly Member Dee Dee Barrett said she was devastated by the outcome of the investigation and called for the governor to step down. Quote, that report has documented a pattern of demeaning and disrespectful behavior and a hostile working environment that has no place in the great state of New York, unquote, Barrett said. Quote, my heart goes out to the courageous women who stepped up to share their truths, unquote. Republican Assembly Member Jake Ashby said it was their duty as state legislators to impeach Cuomo. Quote, it is our duty as state legislators to immediately bring forth the resolution to impeach Governor Cuomo, as no one should be empowered to lead our great state who habitually disregards basic decency and respect to the women he encounters, unquote, Ashby said. Locally, Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chair Matt Morrell, a Republican, said, quote, if it's true, the governor should resign, unquote. Hudson Common Council President Thomas DiPietro, a Democrat, also believes Cuomo should step down. Quote, without parsing every accusation, of which there are many in the report, I think the governor should resign, unquote, he said. Note, DiPietro is a WGXC volunteer on-air programmer. You can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Tadillo reports in the Democrat and Chronicle that a Marist College poll conducted after the New York Attorney General's office released a report about how Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women found that 59% of New Yorkers want the governor to resign. Attorney General Letitia James said in a briefing August 3rd, and I quote, Governor Cuomo's actions violated multiple state and federal laws, end quote. If Cuomo doesn't resign, 59% of those polled say he should be impeached. Just 32% of New Yorkers think he should serve the remainder of his term through 2022. Cuomo denied most of the allegations in the statement August 3rd, but said he had kissed and hugged many people throughout his political career and referred to women as honey, darling, or sweetheart on occasions. A report he released in his own defense was filled mostly with photos of other politicians kissing and touching other people. Many state lawmakers indicated on August 3rd that they would move ahead with impeachment in light of the Attorney General's report. Cuomo, meanwhile, is trying to act as if this is business as usual. Cuomo said on August 3rd, taking a question from reporters, and I quote, "We have a lot to do," end quote. He added, and I quote, "We still have to manage the COVID beast. It's not dead yet. It's not over. We then have to reopen and reimagine our state because our future is going to be what we make it," end quote. Read more about this story in the Democrat and Chronicle. The Associated Press reports that a majority of New York's assembly members now support impeachment proceedings against Governor Andrew Cuomo if he doesn't resign over the investigative findings that he sexually harassed at least 11 women. So LoHUD.com rounds up all the details about how impeachment works in the state. First, 76 of the 150 members of the state assembly must vote for impeachment, according to the New York State Constitution. The Associated Press reports that 82 members would now vote for impeachment. That would make Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul governor in an acting capacity until the impeachment process ends. An impeachment court would then be formed from members of the Senate and the 7 members of the Court of Appeals, the state's highest court. All 7 of those Court of Appeals members were appointed by Cuomo. Hochul and temporary Senate President Andrea Stewart Cousins would not be involved as they are in the line of succession. Cuomo would get at least 20 days' notice before he appears before the court. Then it takes a majority vote from this Senate court in favor of the impeachment for the trial to proceed. After the trial, 2/3 of this Senate impeachment court, or 46 of the 69 members, would have to vote to remove Cuomo, and the court would also vote on whether he could run for office again. Then, if removed, Hochul would remain as governor until Cuomo's term ends in 2022. Read more about this story at LoHUD.com. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo's impeachment got closer to reality August 5th, as the New York Assembly's Judiciary Committee announced their impeachment investigation, and I quote, "is nearing completion," end quote, and the panel, and I quote, "will soon consider potential articles of impeachment," end quote, against the governor. Attorneys for the committee, Davis Polk and Wardwell, wrote in a letter to Cuomo's lawyers, and I quote, "Accordingly, we invite you to provide any additional evidence or written submissions that you would like the committee to consider before its work concludes," end quote. On August 3rd, State Attorney General Letitia James released a report that concluded the governor sexually harassed 11 women. Now Cuomo has until 5 p.m. on August 13th to provide any materials to the committee. The committee meets next at 9:30 a.m. on August 9th. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
I do hug people. can say, Ciao Bella. On occasion, I do slip and say, Sweetheart.
Say, Ciao Bella. On occasion, I do slip and say, Sweetheart.